cup is filled tonight. How about you? I'll tell you, those testimonies of the missionary, starting with Brother Patala, what he's doing over in Togo and hearing last night in Fiji and in Mexico. Isn't it exciting to be part of a church like this one right here that believes in missions, that believes in God's command to take the gospel throughout the world to every creature and is doing something about it? Praise the Lord for that. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be in a place but right here. Amen. And it's been a great evening. Amen. And good singing tonight. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, I'm glad the pastor didn't sing with him. And, you know, I thought it was very good, you know. Amen. I have a lot of things I'd like to say about your pastor tonight, but I guess I'm just going to behave myself. Well, you know, when it comes to fishing, he's a show-off. That's all he is. He's just a show-off. I'm telling you, I'll tell you what, he's just a show-off. Don't get me started. We go to this river, water's going fast, there's people just doing this. He walks over, throws his line, fish down, right away. I mean, he wasn't there for 2 minutes. And I'll tell you what, he came over and fished next to me, and he got one on, but got off. And brethren, that sinker came right back and hit me right here. I think I saw a smile on his face. I was just really disturbed, I'll tell you that right now. But I'm determined to go back and catch one. I took a picture. We got six today. Well, they did. And so I took a picture of it and with me in front of the six and sent it to my boys. And amen. Man, I'll tell you what, I wanted to walk in the flesh. I tell you, when they asked me if I called them, you know, I want to say, well, what do you think? You know, here they are, you know. But I was honest. All righty. Well, you should have gotten a second handout tonight. If you didn't, there's one on the back table for you. And the reason I'm not really pushing to get it, I want you to get it and take it home. But we're not going to go through that second handout tonight. If you'd like one that's back there, I would encourage you to get it. I told you I had 14 principles from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. I talked to your pastor. He's got some principles. We hope to get together sometime. I can get those as well. But the Lord's leading me in a different direction tonight, and I just want to follow the leading of the Lord, because that's what God wants us to do, amen? And that's what will make for a great missions conference. By the way, I think it's been a great missions conference. Amen. I've really enjoyed myself here, getting to know you folks and fellowshipping with you and eating your food. It's been really wonderful, and I've enjoyed that. But if you've got the sheets, let me just say a couple things real quick. I'll watch my time here. And then we'll move on to something else I'd like to study tonight. I think these principles are very important. We last night studied about giving our faith promise mission offering by the grace of God. Amen? God's enabling power to do what God's called you to do. And then we realized, or we knew, or we reviewed, whatever it might be, that what we give really is not ours, but it's the Lord's, because he owns it all. And so what we're really doing is giving from the riches of God. Would you agree with that? That's what you're doing in this faith promise mission giving. So if you look at number three, 1 + 2 = 3. Therefore, my missions offering will be a sacrificial, abundant offering. It will be. It'll be sacrificial. I mean, it was a sacrifice for the churches in Macedonia to do what they did. They were in deep poverty. They were going through a great affliction. And yet, with joy, they gave an offering beyond their ability. It was a sacrificial offering. And brethren, can I be very frank with you tonight? I don't want to belabor this very long. But can I be frank with you tonight? Every one of us in this room tonight can sacrifice to give more. Amen. We really can. I mean, listen, you ever go to a Dunkin' Donuts? You know, I was in a time when I was growing up that coffee only cost 35 cents. You could sit at a seat and drink all you want. The waitress come around and fill it up and you could chew the fat. You know what chew the fat means? Just talk. Amen. Now, good night. $4 or $5 for a cup of coffee. Now, if you get the regular one, it's $2.25. Amen. My wife, she can't settle for the regular one. I when we go buy a Dunkin' Donuts, I start talking to her, get distracted, because I don't want to pull in her. Because she won't order the $2.25 one. She orders a $4 or $5 one. My point is simply this: if you look in your life and pray about it, God will show you some things you can sacrifice and go without. For the cause of people getting the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may have to forego some possessions that you would like, or maybe some plans that you might have, but I'm going to tell you what, it's worth it. Because what we have waiting for us is eternity, and we have a crown of rejoicing for a work well done. So I just want to encourage you tonight, brethren, pray, Lord, what would you have me to do? Remember Jeremiah 33:3, call me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Now, look a little bit further here. I'm not going to go through all of these, but if you go to the second page, if you'll notice here, I just want to talk about this just for a moment. My faith promise mission offering is given out of what I have. Out of what I have. You see, that's where you give your mission offering. Now, there's a problem with that. The problem is I don't always know what I have, but God does. Amen? And another problem is sometimes I'm just downright stingy and God's not. And I need God's help on this matter. No one knows your finances better than God does. And he knows what you can give in a sacrificial offering. So I want to encourage you, pray to the Lord again concerning your faith promise mission offering. I have found over the years that when God has impressed my heart as to what to give, I kind of just, wow. I mean, wow. But the more I prayed about it, the more I realized it's what God wanted me to do. And you know what? God has always met my needs. Always, always met my needs. The other one I want to point out to you real quick, and this is just some principles I just want to touch on. Number 9, my faith promise mission offering makes for balance in the work of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 calls it equity. Equity means balance. There's a balance in the work of God. Paul used the manna that God provided Israel with for 40 years. And how God gave commands, just gather enough for your family. Some families gathered more than others because they were larger families, but in the end, no one lacked. There was a balance to that. And when it comes to our faith promise mission giving, there's a balance in the work of God. We are responding to a need on the mission field and caring for the brethren, but they're also responding to our need to getting the gospel throughout the world. And so there's a balance there. It's an exciting balance. And then one other one here. Let me mention this, and then we'll move on to my message tonight. Drop down to, let's see here. Yes, number 10. My faith promise mission offering is given, trusting God for a bountiful return. I'll tell you what. You'll receive more than what you give. More souls will get saved. And this brother right here, his father-in-law, who's his pastor, was reached by an American missionary. Those churches back in America that were supporting the American missionary, he went over to Togo. He reached his father. They got saved. They started a church. And this man got saved and robbed the man's daughter, married her. And they started a church. And he's working on 7 mission churches with the desire to do more. All of that goes to your account. Amen. You know what, brethren? God keeps good books. He knows exactly what our fruit is, and he knows exactly what the reward is. And I'll tell you what, it's better than Amway. It really is. It's just much better than Amway. And you know, you'll be so delighted when you get to heaven and see the bountiful return for your investment. I am praying for your conference. I know God will do great things here when it comes Sunday, and you're going to reach further than you reached last year. I believe that if you will review these principles, remember what that man preached right there, pray over it, read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and I guarantee you, God doesn't play hide and seek with you. We play hide and seek with God sometimes, but he doesn't with us. And if you want to know God's will concerning your mission offering, he'll let you know. He will. You don't have to wonder right up to the last point and still wonder. You'll know what to give if you want to be involved in the greatest work with the greatest return on the face of this earth, and that is investing the gospel throughout the world. Now tonight, take your Bibles, please. I've got a few places I want you to mark. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Is that right? That don't look like a right reference. Hold on just a second. 1 John chapter 4. Am I right? Okay. Well, I'm wrong. 1 John chapter 5. Okay. My notes were right, I was wrong. 1 John chapter 5, put a marker in there. Romans chapter 1, put a marker in there. The reason I do that, because we can move along a little bit faster. 1 John chapter 5, Romans chapter 1. And then go over to Hebrews chapter 11, put a marker in there if you would. 1 John 5, Romans chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11. When you get all that done, then just go over to Joshua chapter 3, and that's where we'll start tonight. Joshua chapter 3. I want to talk tonight about faith. But more particular, I want to talk about Bible faith. Bible faith. 1 John chapter 5, Romans chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 11, and Joshua chapter 3. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for a wonderful evening. In fact, every evening has been just a blessing to my heart. God, you have encouraged me with the testimonies of these missionaries and Brother Patala. And Father, you've encouraged me with the faithfulness of the people. What a great number out tonight on a Friday night. Thank you for that, Father. And I just pray tonight as we study Bible faith that we'll allow the Holy Spirit to stir our hearts for what you desire to do if only we'll have Bible faith. Thank you, Father. We ask these things in Christ. Amen. What did Judson say? Expect great things from God. Attempt great things from God, for God. What do I say? And you will see great things from God. Amen. You know why? Because we serve a great God. Amen. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God who delights to manifest himself to us and his greatness. He even challenges us. Put him to the test and see what he will do for you. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things from God, for God, and you will see great things for God. So far, we've studied the crisis of a faith promise mission offering. People are dying and going to hell. We studied the cure for the crisis. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We studied the command for the crisis. The Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, our commander in chief, has commanded us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the Lord Jesus to the world. We studied the construction of a faith promise mission offering last night, and I've handed out the other principles. But I want to continue tonight in the construction of a faith promise mission offering by considering this matter called Bible faith, because Bible faith is definitely a part of giving a missions offering. To be quite frank with you, Bible faith is definitely a part of your everyday life. You are to be living by Bible faith. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. The Israelites are at the border of Jordan. They're about ready to cross into the promised land and to take that land for themselves. They had quite an assignment ahead of them. They had to conquer the cities, and they had to destroy the people. That's a tough assignment. But the Lord knows what he's doing, and that's for that dispensation. And God knew that if he allowed those people to live, that they would lead Israel into idolatry. And so some tough orders, but they're getting ready now to cross the Jordan River and to claim the promises of God in conquering the promised land. And I'd like to read that to you tonight, just a little bit of it. Joshua chapter 3, and if you drop down to verse 5, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow, oh, I like this, the Lord will do wonders among you. Can I say, hey, listen, I hope I get through this tonight. God wants to do wonders among you. God's in this. And God is the one that will enable you to see his wondrous hand if you'll just trust him and love him and seek his will. And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and passed over before the people, and they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all earth, I like that, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents and to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they bear the ark, were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Now notice this, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priest that bare the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground. Notice that, dry ground. Not muddy ground, dry ground. In the midst of Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Chapter 4, verse 15, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priest that bear the Ark of the Testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest, saying, come up ye out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up into dry ground, that the waters of Jordan returned unto their places and flowed over the banks, his banks, as they did before. I like the book of Joshua. It's one of my favorite books. The reason I like it so much is there's one victory after another. Amen. You know, God has saved us to walk in victory. Oh, there's a couple of hard moments in their life, I suppose, in the book of Joshua. I think of the city of Ai, after Jericho came a-tumbling down, amen, and they conquered that city, and then they went to investigate the city of Ai. It was just a small city, just a few people, and they said, give us just about 4 or 5,000, we can take this city, only to find themselves set on a run. They couldn't take it. You know why? Because there was sin in the camp. But you know, when they got that sin straightened out and confessed, and they were able to take that city. I think over in chapter 9 it was, those wily Gibeonites that were just over the hill made the appearance like they came from one of the nations outside of the promised land and came to make peace with Israel and to be their servants. And the mistake in that case was that Israel never consulted God, but rather they made a peace with them, only to find out they were the next ones in line that they were to conquer, and so they couldn't destroy them. And by the way, those Gibeonites helped lead Israel into idolatry. But you know what? Do not all of us have some rough times in our life where we have disobeyed the Lord and we've suffered consequences? Huh? I think we've all got that. But you know what? It need not be our habit. It need not be our habit. And God, whose mercy endureth forever, desires his people to live victorious lives for the glory of God and our good. Tonight, God has us see the key by which Israel conquered the land. The key by which Israel conquered the land. And the key to victorious Christian living. And I might add, the key to which to give a faith promise mission offering. Whenever we think of Israel crossing the Jordan River into the promised land, we think of the miracle of God dividing the Jordan. For example, the Bible pointed out the banks are overflowing. Have you ever been to a river where the banks are overflowing? I'll tell you what, it's a bit intimidating. I've been around it 3 times in my life. 2 times I got in my house. It's intimidating, and the banks were over. The water was overflowing the banks, and yet they crossed on dry ground. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. You would have thought at least it'd been up muddy. I mean, water makes mud, and yet they crossed on dry ground. What a great miracle of God! Much like the Red Sea, amen. I think at times, however, we need to be reminded of God's mighty power. I think we need to be reminded that the God of the Old Testament is the same God today. I think we need to remember that the God of the New Testament is the same God today. And he's our God. He's our God. Amen? I think we need to remember the words of Jeremiah the prophet. He said, "Oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Amen? Nothing too hard for thee. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. I think we need to remember the words the Lord spoken to Jeremiah in that very same chapter. A little further down, he said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me?" And of course, it's a rhetorical question. It demands the answer, no. Nothing is too hard for our God. I think we need to remember the words of the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary when she asked, "How can I be with child when I'm a virgin?" He said, "With God, nothing shall be impossible." That's our God. That's whom we serve. That's whom we have a personal relationship with today. That's the God that talks to us by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, that provides for us and cares for us and leads us through our troubles and our tribulations. That's our God whom we know and love and serve through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he is in what we are doing, nothing is too hard for him. Did you hear me? When he's in what we're doing, nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too hard for him. But may I draw your attention to what allowed God to do that great miracle? And to be quite frank with you, all the miracles in the Bible. What allowed God to do it? Well, if you go back in your scripture here and go back to verse 13, it says here, and it came to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam. And it reads on, and they crossed over on dry ground. I want you to see tonight what allowed God to do that miracle. It was the faith of the Israelites. The faith of the Israelites. It was the faith of the priests who bore the ark on their shoulders with orders to walk to that fast-moving, overflowing river and put your feet in the water. And when they did that, then God did his work. Oh, that's so important to see tonight. It was the faith of the Israelites. And by the way, this is a new generation of Jews at the Jordan. 40 years ago, it was their dads that were there who went in to spy the land and said, it's everything that God said it was, but oh my, we can never take them because the men are mighty men. We're like grasshoppers, and they'll destroy our children, and we'll lose our children. I mean, they made a real sad story, and God said, okay, then go back to the wilderness, and I'll give it to your children. 40 years later, the children are now the leaders. And what faith they had, brethren, think about that. That they took that ark and the Israelites followed the priests, and they literally had to put their feet in that water before God did his miracle. I call that faith. I call that Bible faith. Amen? Listen, folks, there's a faith in God that's the devil's lie that leads to the road of destruction, and many there be that are on it. Many. I was on that road. You were on that road once. I was brought up in a cult listening to the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, what they're doing. I was involved in a cult much like that. I was a Christian scientist. And you say, well, what in the world is a Christian scientist? Well, I can tell you what it's not. It's not Christians. It's not science. Amen. It's a lie of the devil. Right. There's a great number of people today that call themselves Christian scientists. They have faith in a God that is not the real God. It's the devil. And one day they're going to pay the price for that faith. It's an eternal hell if they don't get saved. But praise God, there's a Bible faith whose author is God, and that leads to heaven, and few there be that find it. It's faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise God for the saving gospel of Christ. Praise God that he went to that cross for you and I and became our sin for us and bled for us and suffered for us and died for us and rose again. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Praise God, that's the Bible faith. My question to you tonight is, do you have that kind of Bible faith? You see, there's only one way to heaven. There's only one way to be born again, and it's through Jesus Christ and faith in him. And that Bible faith that was born in your heart the day you got saved is still there. It's still there. It's still alive. It's still there. It's there, and it's alive with purpose. And you know what the purpose of that Bible faith is? To see the mighty God whom we serve do great and mighty things. To see the mighty God whom we serve to do great and mighty things. You see, Bible faith is not just a past experience of salvation in the life of a sinner who gives a testimony of the day he got saved. Praise God for those testimonies. But it's not just that. Rather, Bible faith is a now, everyday activity that makes a God whom you cannot see nor touch real and personal, just as real and personal as the person sitting next to you. Bible faith makes God real in your life. It's the way God desires to manifest his greatness and his love for you and what he desires to do for you and through you. And by the way, Bible faith is a prerequisite by which to see God do great things. Great things. In fact, to see God do the impossible. Listen, folks, those churches in Achaia, they did the impossible because of their faith in God. And it was God doing it through them. Amen?
Bible faith is so important. I think of Matthew chapter 17, that demon-possessed son. You remember that story where the father brought the demon-possessed son to the Lord to be healed, had that demon cast out of him. And the Lord and Peter, James, and John are on the Mount Transfiguration. And so it's just the disciples, and man, they couldn't do it. They tried everything. They imitated the very words that Jesus spoke, and they just couldn't cast that devil out of that boy. Jesus came down, and he did it. Amen? And his disciples came to him, and they were frustrated. They came and said, why could we not cast him out? Now listen. And Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. I don't know about you, but that verse still challenges my thinking. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. God wants a people in whom nothing is impossible for them to do by his grace, by his power. If only we will get the faith that God wants us to have, find what God wants us to do, and find what he'll do through us, and trust him to do it. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. I think of when the Lord Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and there was that fig tree with no figs on it, and he came to the tree expecting figs, and he cursed the tree. And the next day, Peter and the disciples were going by that tree, and it was withered. And Peter, called to remembrance, said to the master, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. Hey, folks, I want to tell you something tonight. Have faith in God. Amen. The devil's after that. He doesn't want you to have. He fears a Christian who has faith in God. He'll do everything he can to get you to walk by sight and not by faith. He'll do everything he can to get you to make this your home and not heaven your home. Right. He'll do everything he can to get you to not walk by faith. He went on and said, for verily I say to you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say to you, what things of you desire of you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Doubt not, doubt not. Doubt not in your heart. Have faith in God. I want to ask you tonight, are you walking by faith in God? Now, wait a minute. You better think about that. Are you walking by faith in God? Don't be quick to give an answer. Think about that. What did you trust God for today? Or did you just plain trust yourself? Huh? What did you trust God for today? Or did you just trust in yourself? Are you walking with God by faith? I'm not talking about your faith when you were saved by a decision of faith in Christ for salvation. I'm talking about a vibrant, living faith today for what God would do today. What are you trusting God to do? Bible faith begins a sinner walk with God. Amen. For by grace are you saved through faith, not that of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Bible faith also is to continue in our walk with God. Take your Bibles, go to 1 John chapter 5, and look at verse 4 with me. Bible faith is to continue. We got saved by faith, and we're to walk with God by faith all the way to heaven. That's what God wants us to do. Look at this verse, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. It says here, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Now listen, my English is not the best. I enjoyed the subject in school, but it wasn't my favorite. I liked reading literature. That was great. I'm not the best on English, but if I understand that verse, that's a present tense. We who are born of God are to overcome the world today, here and now. Born of God speaks of a believer. Amen. You must be born again, said Jesus. Are you born of God tonight? Overcometh means to prevail, to get the victory. And how does a believer overcome this world that he lives in? And this is a victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're to walk with God by faith, Bible faith. Go over to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's a power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. And then Paul said this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Hey, that's not talking about the day you got saved. That's talking about today. Amen. You're to be living for God by faith in God. Amen. That's what God wants you to do. And when it comes to our faith promise mission offering, it's
giving a sacrificial, abundant offering every week by faith in God today, trusting God to enable us and care for us and provide for us as we do it. Could I be frank with you tonight? I fear that there's a famine of Bible faith exercised among our churches today. I do. I've been around for a while. I started out in the 70s as a believer. I had the joy of being at Highland Park Baptist Church, NC Temple, spent some years down there. And brethren, I'll tell you what, I see what's going on today, and I just don't see Bible faith being exercised by churches today. I'm not saying you don't hear, don't get me wrong. I'm just preaching. You let the Holy Spirit apply it. But I have a fear of that. I have a fear our churches are full of carnal Christians who walk by sight and not by faith every day in the good old USA. Not trusting God to do anything. They can take care of themselves. And then when a crisis comes in their lives, oh, then they call upon God. Brethren, we ought to be calling upon God every day for everything that we do. I fear we have churches today whose lives, who live for the things of the world and not the things of God. We can't even have a revival anymore. We got too many obligations in the world. You know, we got this Monday night, this Tuesday night, this Wednesday night. There goes a revival. I haven't got time for a revival. I'm walking by sight, not by faith. Man, I remember you could have a revival at one time. People just, hey, you know, revivals used to start and they didn't put an ending to them. Only God put it to a close. But now we decide when the revival comes to a close. And that's why we don't have revival. Because we're doing it and not God. I get concerned for churches who are so wrapped up in the things and affairs of this world, looking around instead of looking up. And yet we serve the all-powerful God. We serve the all-powerful God in whom nothing is too hard, in whom nothing is impossible, and who delights to prove himself. If only we will trust him for what he says he will do. If only we'll trust him for what he says he will do. Jeremiah 33:3, that prayer I encourage you to pray this week. Call unto me and I'll answer thee. That's where we usually leave it, right there. But he says, and I'll show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's our God. He loves to manifest his glory to you. By the way, he's a jealous God. All glory to God. Praise. Oh, that song tonight. I'll tell you what, brethren, that was good. Amen. I'll tell you, both of them are special, but that holy stuff really gets to me. Amen. I'll tell you what, down south, they do a lot of this. You know, I remember once when I took my son to Bob Jones and we visited a church up in Lenore, North Carolina. We walked in a little late and they were already starting and they had the choir back there. We walked in, we sat down, this lady was going like this. I said, oh, Nathan, isn't that friendly? She's waving to us. I was being a little smart. But I'll tell you what, that's something I haven't mastered yet down south. I still got some of this little northern blood in me. My heart says, my head says, put your hand down, boy. Don't you put that hand up there. You know? Amen. But I'll tell you what, I came close tonight. Yeah, amen. You just might make me a southerner before I go back. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. I'm looking forward to more of that good music. But God wants to prove himself. Get that tonight. He wants you to test him. Let me show you something. We didn't look at it, but go, and I meant to have you turn there. Malachi chapter 3. I love this passage. Not because it teaches on the tithe, but because of what God said you'll do if you will tithe. That's what I like about it. I've counseled people over the years in financial messes. First thing I deal with is, are you tithing? Well, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe. Look at my debt. I said, you can't afford not to tithe. You'll never get out of debt if you don't start tithing. Amen. And I've seen many people get their financial stress straightened out when they began to tithe. Amen. But look at Malachi 3:8. You know the passage. Well, let's look at it one more time. Will a man rob God? Speaking to Israel. Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Oh my, let me tell you something, folks. It's dangerous not to tithe. It's dangerous not to tithe. And I would encourage you, if you're not tithing, y'all take note to the, well, it belongs to Israel. Wait a minute. The storehouse today is your church. that's where the tithes is to be brought, to care for the pastor and the ministries of the church. But look at what he says in verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. That's your church. That there may be meat in my house. Now watch this. I love it. And prove me now, hear what saith the Lord of hosts, if I not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. That's our God. Amen. Mighty God. Nothing's too hard for him. All things possible with him. Nothing's impossible with him. And he's saying to you, prove me. Prove me. Find what I will do for you or through you and prove me. And can I say something? God is faithful who has promised. Amen. He's been faithful to me all the... I've not been faithful to him, but he's been faithful to me. Praise God for his mercy. Amen. Amen. His mercy endureth forever. And so, Christian, I have a question for you tonight. What is your faith trusting God to do today in your life? What is your faith trusting God to do today in your life? Now, it's going to be done on his time. And God's time is perfect. And he's always on time. But what is your faith trusting God to do today in your life? What great and mighty things have you seen God do because of your faith in God? If we were to have testimony time tonight, all right, let's have some testimonies. Tell me what great things God has done in your life because of your faith in him for that. I wonder how long the testimonies would last. I wonder if they'd even get started. Well, let's see. I don't know. I want to give you three thoughts about Bible faith. Bible faith that's alive now for the purpose of you to trust God according to his word and see God do great things. He's a great God. Let me just give you three thoughts and we'll be done. Number one, the character or the definition of Bible faith. I'm trying to stick to the same letter. I'm not very good at this. I can't stand these preachers. They always have these perfect outlines. It's probably Brother Jeff. Amen. That's another thing you can't stand about him. Anyways, let's go on. Amen. The character or the definition of Bible faith. What is Bible faith? Now, if you go to a bookstore, that's a popular subject. But most of that stuff is garbage. Let me give you what my definition of Bible of faith is over that I've learned over the years. It's trusting in God according to his word to do something or some things for me or through me. It's trusting in God according to his word to do something or some things for me or through me. That's the way I see Bible faith. In other words, you have God's word for what you're trusting God to do. Amen? But I'm going to give you a better definition than that. I'm going to give you a Bible definition. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. You can't improve on the Bible. Amen? Amen? And I want to give you a Bible definition of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 1. Hebrews 11 verse 1, the great hall of faith chapter. Look what it says here. It says, wow. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a Bible definition of Bible faith. Let me break it down for you. That word substance carries the idea of assurance or confidence. Faith is the substance. It's the assurance or confidence. The word hope for is not the way we use it today. If I say, well, I hope it will happen, it's not a sure thing. But back in the King's day, when we got the Bible in our English language, it was a sure thing. It's almost like a promise, an expectation. You can bank on it. It's going to happen. So faith is a substance, a confidence of things hoped for or expected. And then it says the evidence. That's simply the proof. Evidence is proof of things not seen or things not yet done, not yet received, but will be in God's time. What a powerful definition of faith. That's the best one right there. Faith is the substance, the assurance, the confidence, the things hoped for, expected, the evidence, the proof of things not seen, not yet done, but will be in God's time. Bible faith is confidence in God and proof of God for what God will do for you or through you in his time. Every example of Bible faith in the Old Testament was based on the Word of God. They had the Bible for what they trusted God for. Let me prove that to you. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, notice that, by faith, Faith. Confidence of things expected. The proof of things not seen. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark of the saving his house. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. Verse 11, through faith, also Sarah, here's an interesting one, herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's a good definition of faith. You judge him faithful who has promised. Wait a minute. Yeah, it is. Sarah. Yeah. The same one, when the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said that she would be with child a year later, and she started laughing behind the tent. The walls weren't very thick back then. She heard everything. She started laughing, and the Lord said to Abraham, why does Sarah laugh? I'm really paraphrasing it. And she said, oh, I'm not laughing. He said, oh, yes, you did. You can't fool God. You may be able to fool one another, but not God. And so Sarah had to change her heart. She went from doubt to faith in God's word. Can I say something to you? You may not agree with this, but had Sarah not put faith in God's promise that she would be with child, she wouldn't have had a child. Can I get a little bit further this? And Brother Jeff, don't kick me out. But when Mary asked the angel, how can this be? And the angel told her the Holy Spirit will come upon her, and she shall conceive. She said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Now watch this. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Do you know why we have Jesus today? Because Mary believed the word of God. What would have happened if Mary didn't believe? You say, oh, preacher, you're really getting way out. No, I'm not. Think about it. I'll tell you what. You know what stops God from doing things? A lack of faith. A lack of faith. It's all through the Bible. Anything we expect from God requires faith in God and his word for what we're expecting from him. And anything we do for God requires faith in God and his word for what he will do through us. And for us who are saved and walking with God, there's always to be that activity of Bible faith in our life, whereby we're reading the word of God, we're listening to that preacher over there, or the teacher that we might have in our Sunday school class, or maybe those special meetings that come along the way, and God is able to show us what he will do for you or through you if only you'll trust him, and he'll do it. And brethren, our life ought to be full of faith promises. Right now, in this room tonight, every person, if you're saved, you ought to have at least one faith promise that you're trusting God to do in his time, but he's going to do it. Amen. Really? Amen. I'll tell you what, when I surrendered to do what I'm doing, it scared me so much. But I had the word of God showing me that I need to do what I do. You don't know how many times I've gone to that scripture and read it and said, okay, God, I'll trust you. I'll trust you. And by the way, he's been faithful to me. He's taken good care of me. Look a little bit further here. Number two, the commandment of Bible faith. We've got the definition of Bible faith, not the commandment of Bible faith, obedience. I like that song, Trust and Obey. It's one of my favorite hymns. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Could it be someone that's not happy here tonight? Can I tell you why you're not? You're just not trusting and obeying. It's just that simple. There's something in your life or some things that you know to be wrong, but you're just going to go ahead and keep on doing it. You know it's not pleasing to God, but you're still going to do it, and you're not a happy Christian. You're not a happy Christian. There's not joy. Trust and obey. There's another way to be happy in Jesus. What would have happened if Israel did not, if the priests did not put their feet in that water? They would still be sitting on the shore. That water never would have divided. You know why they put their feet in the water? Because God told them to do it. And with every faith promise God gives you in the Bible, he's going to tell you to do something if you're going to see that faith promise come real, if it's going to become sight. So the commandment of faith, Bible faith, is obedience. Look at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, underline the word, he obeyed. He obeyed. Brethren, the Christian life is a life of obedience. There's commandments in this word that God teaches for our good and for our well-being and for his glory. And we need to, by grace, learn those commandments. It's a lifetime of learning. But as God teaches us, we need to follow him. And God will be able to give us faith promises. And you'll see God do what you're trusting him to do if only you'll be obedient. He obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went.
Think about that. He didn't even know where he was going. He just knew he had to get going. And he trusted God to guide his steps. That's an amazing thought. And I'll tell you what, sometimes what God says for you to do, as you're trusting him, it don't make any sense. But the word of God says it, and that settles it. And you're going to do it. Amen? And this leads, oh, turn your Bibles quickly. 1 John 3:22. We're almost done. I don't know where time goes. First, aren't you glad it's Friday night? How many of you have to work tomorrow? Do you really? I'll pray for you. Amen. Okay. I'll wake up. What time do you get up? 9 o'clock? Well, I'll pray for you at 6. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. First John, look at this. Tremendous verse, 22 on what we're studying. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing his sight. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. The commandment to Bible faith, to see God do what you're trusting him to do, is obedience. Obedience. That leads to my last thought, the companion of Bible faith. We've got the character or definition of Bible faith. We've got the command of Bible faith. Now we've got the companion of Bible faith. And here's what it is. It's prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer. We see that up in the verse we just read. Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments. Faith is not just knowing what God has said he will do for you or through you according to his word, but also asking God to do what he said he'll do for you. Asking God and keep asking God until God does what you know he will do. Can I be frank with you tonight? I've lost a lot of blessings from God because I quit asking. And you know why I quit asking? Because I quit trusting. I just gave up on it. I was impatient. That's one of our biggest enemies as Christians. We're impatient. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Get that? Are you pleasing God? Are you walking with God by faith tonight? Have you got faith promises in your heart that you're trusting God to do in his time as you obey him and as you pray? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's a present tense verse right there, boy. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Nothing's too hard for my Lord. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I think prayer is part of that. Jesus said, ask, and ye shall receive. Amen. Seek and shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and to him that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Ask and keep asking. Ask and keep asking. It's interesting in that one miracle I read to you where the Lord cast that devil out of that boy, and the disciples said, why could we not do it? And he said, because of your unbelief. And he said, if you have faith as grain of a mustard seed, you know, that's just simply trusting God. That's all it is. And then he said, you could say this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Then he said this, howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You see, prayer is part of your faith. You let God give you those promises from the word of God, and he wants to give you them. He does. They'll meet the needs in your life. They'll even give direction to your life. You let God give you those faith promises, and you love God, and you obey him and do what he expects of you, and you pray. And you just keep on praying until God does what he said he will do. May take a long time, may take a short time, but we need to be faithful. And could I just be frank with you? I'm just about done. But you know, there's a famine of Bible prayer in our churches. Our churches don't pray like they used to pray. They used to have all-night prayer meetings when a problem came up in the church. The men would get together and pray all night. I was talking to a pastor over in Alabama, went back to the years of the 70s, and they had men come to church, and they prayed for souls to get saved, people to come to church, and they went door knocking too, but they prayed for people to come to church, and you know what? People came to church, and people got saved. Wednesday night prayer meeting, do you know a lot of churches are just canceling them? Because they can't get anyone to come out to them. We don't pray like we used to. We're trying to do the Lord's work through programs absent of prayer. And we're not seeing many mighty works of God like we used to. Well, we're seeing some things done, but not what could be done if only we would have faith, Bible faith and prayer. Faith in God according to His word and prevailing prayer go together. And I wonder, what have you not seen God do? Because there was a time God spoke to your heart for something that you needed or something that He had to do in your life. And somewhere along the way, you just quit asking. You just gave up. Prevailing prayer. Well, the character of Bible faith, trusting in God according to His word. God builds your faith on His word. I'm doing what I'm doing tonight because I have God's word as my backing. I wouldn't be doing it otherwise. When God moved me down south, man, I kicked and fussed. I loved where I was, brother. We had a great ministry there. And I kicked and fussed. I did not want to go. I loved my church in Middleburg. But I've waited on God and read the scriptures. He gave me scripture that said I needed to go. You don't know how many times that first year I went to that scripture and read it again and again just to say, okay, God, I'll stay. Amen. Oh, my God, so good. The command of Bible faith, obedience, trust and obey, and the companion Bible faith. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. If you're saved tonight, I'm going to close with this question. I started with it. I'm going to close with it. How's your Bible faith? Think about this. It's so hard to put across. I hope you got what I said tonight. How's your Bible faith? What are you trusting God for right now, today, 2018, to do for you or through you from the Word, from this book right here? This is a faith book right here. What are you trusting God for today? That should be the Christian walk. Talking about today. What faith promises has God given you from His word? What has your faith in God according to His word seen God do? Could you give testimony tonight of a faith promises that have been answered in your life? We ought to be full of them. What's your faith in God according to His word trusting God to do today? At the end of this conference, you'll turn in your faith promise mission commitment for the next 12 months, giving a specific sacrificial offering, abundant offering every week to worldwide missions through your church for 1 year. That I didn't talk about that, but 1 year is a renewing time to even give more. Or perhaps because of adjustment income, you may not be able to give more. But it's a renewing time, a reviewing, renewing. That's why we do it every year. By faith in God and His promise to enable me and care for me and provide for me as I do it. Will you exercise Bible faith when Sunday comes? Will you obey the Lord to give your mission offering every week by faith and by prayer? And if you will, you'll see God provide for you and care for you and enable you. Here's my faith promise. Every Sunday, is that when you usually Sundays? Every Sunday, I bring my faith promise. Here's my obedience. Here's my obedience. Sunday, obedience. Monday to Friday, sight. God takes care of me. Sunday comes around again. By faith, here's my obedience. Monday to Friday, God takes care of me. Sunday rolls around. By faith, here's my obedience. Amen. Well, I should say Sunday to Sunday. Amen. Not Monday. We got to get Sunday in there. Amen. Better get the whole week in there. God takes care of you. There's your faith becoming sight. Sunday comes around again. Here's your faith in God's word, obedience. And you walk by sight, you see God take care of you. And by the way, He'll do some miraculous things in your life. He'll do some miraculous things in your life as you obey God in your faith promise giving. What will you do for missions? There's something you could sacrifice. There really is. Come on now. Come on, we're talking about the United States of America. Go on over to Togo. Spend some time with them. You'll come back thinking that you're American. You can come back to your home. Go over to Mexico where these people are. You realize, hey, I'm better off than I thought. In fact, I'm rich. Brethren, there's something you can sacrifice for God if only you pray about it and let him have his way in your life. Father, thank you so much for our study tonight. Lord, I love mission conferences because, Father, there's such an evident working of God in the hearts of your people because your heartbeat is missions. You so loved us that you gave us your Son who died for us, shed his blood, suffered, rose from the dead. He's life eternal. And I pray for this church, God, as we near Sunday and as the faith promise cards are turned in, that we will be a praying people, that we'll exercise Jeremiah 33:3, and we'll let you from the Word of God and from these principles that come from the Word of God, from the preaching of our pastor that came from the Word of God, we'll let you impress our heart with what you will do through us if only we will yield and give that faith promise offering. And God, I believe if we'll do that, it'll be the greatest one yet. I ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.